Blog Talk Radio.
Song I sing.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Oh, yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, we're back again. Thank the Most High that we are back together again. For another episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed, I welcome you to the show. I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. And again, brothers and sisters, I welcome you again to the show. Hidden Gospel Revealed, and I'm your host, Eddie Mia, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High, yes indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing and the cause of his people. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me that for his cause, I have some very important things for his purpose that I must do. And he told me because of what I must do, he said to me that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, I said if they could, to destroy. We know that the promise of Yah is exactly what it is, this promise. The Most High has spoken from the beginning. No one can turn it back. But the Most High has promised by his word from the beginning. No one can alter or change anything in it. Most High will surely bring to bear all that he has spoken. And blessed are they who, in keeping faith in him, will not be turned aside. Blessed are they who, in keeping faith in him, in hearing the word of truth, will be converted. That they speak indeed unto the Most High pure, perfect word, with which the Most High can be pleased. Can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's no debate, no question about it. I repeat, there's no debate, there's no question about it. The fact of the matter is that nothing else but a pure, perfect word will be acceptable to the Most High. There can be no divisions among his people. All must realize their responsibility unto all and everything the Most High has spoken, all that is to be a common expectation for our people. Yes, my brothers and sisters, even unto all that which the Most High has foreordained has been brought to pass. Blessed are they who, my brothers and sisters, discerning what the Most High calls a finished work, will not be satisfied to all that which Yah has declared is complete. It is because men so often have been compelled to be satisfied, compromised, willing to accept flatterers so easily because they have been flattered by those who have no intent to see the fullness of the will of Yah made manifest. So many of them, my brothers and sisters, who are contentious today, not realizing that they are in bondage, kept in bondage, slaves to the plan and ideals, even the false righteousness of others. Why are there so many divisions among us? How often is it, my brothers and sisters, that we've heard the word of Messiah, word of the dispensation. He said, go forth and teach all nations everything that he commanded. But yet among us, my brothers and sisters, there have been many curses, many divisions, not wrought of the Spirit of the Most High, not wrought of man being obedient to the fullness of the Spirit of the Most High would awaken our minds to perceive men subject to other orientations. Some have believed this bit of truth, some believing that. Some believing that a part of this truth of the covenant is viable, making it a taut, devout ideal at which they say they must be obedient. And at the same time, my brothers and sisters, there are others. Did you hear my brothers and sisters? I said at the same time, there are others. Yes, indeed. There are others who, on the other hand, would dare to declare other ideals. In other words, what I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, one will say this is to be obeyed, another not. Another will say this is not to be obeyed, another will. Picking and choosing of the covenant. Forgetting, my brothers and sisters, if there's disagreement as to what the covenant requires. Men knowing what is said, but not why it is said. It is vanity, my brothers and sisters, whereby many missing the point are not abundant, do not see themselves obliged to reason together unto the same goal. My brothers and sisters, so many are so prideful. So many among us are so prideful after the shallow bits of knowledge that are parceled out by so many of these that say that they are rulers, pastors, kings, presidents, whatever among us. So many of us, my brothers and sisters, are prideful after the fatal flatteries they offer. That we forget that Messiah, according to Acts 3:18 through 23, according to Isaiah 28, so I'll declare, my brothers and sisters, Messiah will bring forth a time of refreshing, whereby he will bring about the restitution, the remembrance of all things, according to all that the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets, my brothers and sisters, since the world began. So watch out for false prophets who teach you a faulty testimony. The crowd, Lord, Lord, but not to fully do the will of the Father. By what spirit do they speak? And the scripture says the Holy Spirit will teach all things. No lie in it. Reprove all sin. How about all the misallegiances that come as a result of man's compromises, hypocrisies, and disobedience? Yes, to bring all things to remembrance under the rebuke of all the sin and misallegiance. My brothers and sisters, the Most High intends to regather his people, indeed by his Spirit. But who are those who, my brothers and sisters, will be wise enough to understand that the present society in which we live, the systems of this world, are the works of many kings, priests, pastors, rabbis, men who call themselves elders, prime ministers. My brothers and sisters, in so many ways, we must understand that the systems of this world are not the work of the prophets, thus exposing this present world system as in so many ways damningly, divisively carnal. I've talked about it many times before on this show. It's not possible, I repeat, it's not possible for every man to walk after what seems wise according to his own flesh. I said it's not possible for every man to walk according to what seems wise according to his own flesh, and this be a covenant. It's not possible that every man walk according to his own flesh after so much misorder. It's not possible that such as this, my brothers and sisters, could be a law. My brothers and sisters, we must understand every man walking according to what seems wise according to his flesh is a lack of discipline. It's reprobate mindedness. is self-righteousness. Many having the law, the written word, but not seeking it by faith, knowing that all must exceed all the partialities of men, because a multitude of diverse doctrines at the hands of men are not faith, but misrepresentation under so much doubt, debate, misopinion. And yes, my brothers and sisters, in being errant, it is sin. But how many of us will understand, my brothers and sisters, that only a pure, perfect word offers one choice, because a multitude of partial and polluted standards could never be true to the will of one. Therefore, we must understand, my brothers and sisters, the partiality, the pollutions of mankind, since every lie, every hasty conclusion man draws, what man believes being a god to him. These such partialities and pollutions and compromises cannot set men free unto what is indeed divine discipleship. None of this, my brothers and sisters, is a covenant unto Yah. None of this is a covenant, my brothers and sisters, unto truly what is eternal salvation. As a healing people, my brothers and sisters, when the Most High is foreordained, must come to reason together. Must discern, my brothers and sisters, when the Most High says, come and let us reason together. It is certainly not with the exclusion of him, but the certain, my brothers and sisters, acceptance. Even the praise and giving honor to the Most High for all that he has spoken. So I say to you, my brothers and sisters, since there's so much that denominational and national, political, cultural, and social institutionality, so many of these carnal compromises of men, I say, don't let your pastors and rulers then, my brothers and sisters, don't let the kings of this earth teaching doctrines, catering to whatever they see as viable, grab at your purse strings. Don't let those feel like if a doctrine they have is sellable, if men will buy it, they will sell it. Because truth, my brothers and sisters, the true prophet knows after the spirit and enlightenment Most High grants to those he favors for that purpose. To speak with others will not. Know that by no means can they compromise the word. They must seek that all would also seek the Most High, would discern all things true and perfectly to the point. We seek to do that, my brothers and sisters, for this is the obligation we have unto the Most High. For when he has spoken, saying to us, Hear, O Israel, the Most High is one, it declares an absolute obligation on the part of all who will call upon his name. We all must seek the whole truth for the good of us all. The whole truth that all may call upon the name of the Most High with one mind. Blessed are they who will understand this. For nothing else, my brothers and sisters, is worthy to be called the ancient righteousness, the tribal instincts of a people the Most High has consecrated unto his name of old. Well, powerful topic tonight. Very powerful topic indeed. I would say to those of you who have not been listening to recent shows that you would please, my brothers and sisters, for holy name's sake, that you would please give listen. As we prepare for the holy feast of the One Most High, now to come in the midst of this soon to diminish sixth Hebrew month, to introduce the seventh, and the sounding of the trumpet, my brothers and sisters, the sounding of the alarm that the peacetime people of the Most High must consider unto the coming Day of Atonement. The feast of Rosh Hashanah, they call it. Actually, it's Rosh. It's actually Yom Teruah. The upcoming Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the month. And I remember, brothers and sisters, let's be real about it. Some would call it Rosh Hashanah as if it was a new year. It might be the beginning of an agricultural new year. The seventh month out of 12, my brothers and sisters, is definitely not the beginning of a new year. But it is Feast of Yom Teruah. Feast of the blowing of trumpets. Preparation for the time, my brothers and sisters, with all of Israel must humble self. Everyone humbling self. Israel, my brothers and sisters, might have what you might call a blessed forthcoming year. Well, much we need to talk about that, my brothers and sisters. It was truly a blessed thing if all who are Israel understood what it is that now we must prepare for. So many ways, Isaiah 58, I think of it often. Beats of trumpets. Sounding the alarm in preparation for the atonement of our people. The gathering of a people that we might prepare, brothers and sisters, as was likened in the times that they talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. A preparation, my brothers and sisters, ultimately to make our way home. I think about it often, my brothers and sisters, that we must understand that in seeking this unity for the blessed good of our people, I said seeking this unity for the blessed good of our people, we must, my brothers and sisters, I'll say it again, we must seek the Most High. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? True to all that He has, I said all that He has spoken, all that He has declared, for purity and completion, offers one choice. And there is indeed much, my brothers and sisters, that so many of us have not been compelled to fully consider. That must now, I said, must now consider. Let us consider what has been said, because it's important that we do. I repeat, it is very important that we do with regard to what has been spoken over the last few nights. In fact, my effort even now is to place the URLs for some of those archived shows in the chat even now as we speak. Grant me just a moment. I shall have that done. It's important, these things I said before. It's very important that these things be heard. And I'd like to carry forth with the shows for the last few nights. Okay, they're there in the chat as we speak. I'd like to carry forth with the teachings of the last few nights. I'd like to repeat a few things that were said that we discern the root of these things. Some of it is in the chat as we, not in the chat, but in the splash screen of tonight's show. I just simply chose to put a few verses in. Let us understand the implication of these things. The first verse we hear in the scriptures having to do with the tribe of Judah, which is the point of focus tonight. And I say now to my brothers and sisters, the tribe of Judah now is my point of focus, as all prophecy relates to the tribe of Judah. Must awaken first. Even must awaken first, my brothers and sisters, for the cause of the awakening of all the tribes. Yes, I said awakening of all the tribes. Even all the tribes that will be an ultimate light to the whole world. So we have some very important concepts with regard to this understanding that must be given serious, serious consideration. I'd like to start with this verse. Genesis 29:35, speaking of Leah, who is Jacob, Israel's wife, talks about when she conceived, she bare a son. She conceived again. This was not the first of her children. Along the lines of one of her younger sons, she said she conceived again and she bare a son. And she says, now I will praise Yah. So she called his name Judah. Let us consider in the midst of these verses. I said this is Genesis 29:35. Let us look at these verses again. I'd like to look at what has occurred. Genesis 29:30, talking about Jacob. He went in also unto Rachel, and she loved, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him seven other years. You understand, many of you understand the story about how when Jacob went to Rachel and Leah's father, delighting first in Rachel, he was given Leah first as a wife. Well, here we find this truth, my brothers and sisters. It says in Genesis 29:30, it says, went in also unto Rachel, after he claimed Rachel as for wife. He loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet another 7 years with Rachel and Leah's father. And when said, when the Most High saw that Leah was hated, they put down hated, but let's just say lesser loved. Let's be real about this. Let's understand what it said. He opened her womb, but Rachel remained barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son. She called his name Reuben, Reuben's first son. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Therefore my husband will love me, Reuben. Genesis 29:33. She conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Most High has heard that I was, let me just say, less loved. Let's even look at that word for a minute. Maybe that's the need to do that. 29:33. The word there. Some say here that it means that he was, she was. They want to say that the word actually means that she was hated. But how could it be that Leah was actually hated by her husband, who could definitely count her family? Need to consider that, my brothers and sisters. Need to. It would be far better if this translation with regard to that idea were much more clear. In fact, some texts such as the NASB said unloved. Or how about the idea of just simply kind of say yet lesser love than was Rachel, Rachel being more favored. Genesis 29:33, and she conceived again and bore a son, and said, because the Most High has heard that I am unloved, he is therefore giving this son also. So she named him Simeon. Genesis 29:34. She conceived again and bore a son, and said, now this time my husband become more attached to me because I bore him three sons. Therefore, he was named Levi. Here, the 29th chapter, 35th verse. And then she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Most High. Therefore, she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Well, let us comprehend that this name, Judah, even relates one devoted unto the praise of the Most High. And we understand that we cannot praise the Most High, and we praise deviation when we seek at any time not to honor him. The very word for praise, kabbalah, relates the concept of more than just to praise, as some might declare the word. To praise something is also to pray for the fullness of all that that thing is and the fullness of its created purpose. It's to give full honor then. In this case, give honor unto the Most High, even to declare standard. And blessed are they who will understand this concept. We discern, therefore, the cause of this tribe called Judah. And we also go forward and listen and give record to another scripture that relates much the same. How about stepping all the way forward to the book of Romans, particularly Romans in the second chapter? How about to the 29th verse. 28th verse. Okay. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor a circumcision, that which is, let's just say, merely an outward after the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Ah, how about one who is devout to praise the Most High? And circumcision is that which is the heart by the Spirit. Not merely of the letter, because like I said, many are they who can tell you what is written, but can they tell you why? To discern purpose and service unto the Most High. It says, the true Jew then is one who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart open to the full praise and discipline of the Most High, to the raising of human conscience, beyond all the obstacles of those, my brothers and sisters, whose will, design, desire, and conscience is not under the fullness of what the Most High would teach his people. Most High, my brothers and sisters, would carve away the hardness of the human heart that men might be converted, seeing with reason what is wise, knowing then, my brothers and sisters, I said knowing absolutely, since nothing is fruitive unto divine purpose until all things are correct according to his purpose. Let us open our hearts, my brothers and sisters, to discern. Since all things under blessing will be according to divine, absolute person, perfect degree, decree. But we must seek him for his will. That we operate according to his cause in all things. Not by the mere letter. And his praise, I want you to understand, it's more than just, like I said, every man interpreting everything after his flesh. But many are the ways that seem right under men, but the end thereof is death. Many are the ways that seem right after the very flesh of men, under much contention, as much as we see today. Hey, a lot of folks use the book, but there are 45,000 denominations calling themselves believers today, my brothers and sisters. Consider what this means. Dare men say that every man after his flesh, after the short-sightedness of his carnality, the covenant unto the Most High, he must be far wiser than that. Say the true Jew is one then whose praise is not from men. His prayer, his petition, the drives of his heart, what he desires to see fruitive, what he gives honor unto, is not from or after the designs of men. From Yah. And if we follow this scripture, knowing these scrolls are continuous, it finally says, my brothers and sisters, but what advantage has the Jew? What benefit is circumcision? Great in every respect. First of all, they were entrusted with the oracles, the prophecies of Yah. That which is to be preserved, that which is to be honored forever. What then if some do not believe? Would their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of what Yah has declared? May it never be. Rather, let us understand what was said by faithful Abraham. The whole world be a liar. Let Yah be true, that it might be Yah who is always the one counted just in his words, that in faithfulness unto him you may prevail when you are judged. Yah, my brothers and sisters, are those who would be partakers in his righteousness, must be discerned as him who is just and righteous in all that he says and does. Therefore, there's nothing which he has declared as revealed in his initial impetus by his spirit that any of those who are avowed in his name have a right to reject. We have an obligation to seek it all. Therefore, let us also consider, again, the scripture says that Judah was called unto the praise of the Most High. I'd like to also relate that for this purpose, one of the things we must understand is that Judah is called, actually according to scripture, to awaken in so many ways first. There's something to be understood about this. Let us look at Genesis again in the 49th chapter. I said Genesis again in the 49th chapter. I'd like to look into all these things swiftly. You'll bear with me so we can quickly get to the major points. Points in terms of not, like I said, just reading the words, but understanding what they relate and their implications from the cumulative perspective is perceived. In Genesis, in the 49th chapter, it speaks of the brethren of Judah, and until finally it speaks of Judah as a tribe, and it continues on. Judah is not the last born of Jacob, for of course then Rachel also began to bear. Let us consider Genesis 49:1. And Jacob summoned his son and said, assemble yourselves that I might tell you what is to come or what is befall you in the days to come. Some scriptures actually relate this as what is to come to pass in the latter days, in the last days of this age of confusion. Something, my brothers and sisters, must bring into the age of confusion, must declare what is an absolute. He says, gather yourself together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken to Israel your father, Reuben, firstborn. Thou art my firstborn. In other words, of my might. In other words, one who is born in his strength of his youth. The beginning of my strength, the excellence of dignity, and the excellency of power. But you are unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel, as thou wentest up to thy father's bed and defile thou it, and went up to my couch. Yes, something to consider. I want to continue from here. Simeon and Levi are your brethren, instruments of cruelty in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, into their assembly, in other words, unto their schemes, to their assembly, mine honor. Be thou not united. For in thy anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be thee for their anger, for it was fierce in their wrath, for it was cruel. And I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in all Israel. Okay, now we come to Judah. Something important to notice. It says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Let me repeat this. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise, shall give honor. Thy hand shall be on the neck of thy enemies. Oh, Judah shall conquer then not only the enemies of Judah, but the enemies of all Israel. There's a vibration here to be considered. Thy father's children, yes, even all the other tribes of Israel, shall bow down before thee, saying, Judah, then, my brothers and sisters, shall rule as kings in all Israel. Even shall rule the kings of the kings that shall be the tribes of Israel. Should be a light to the world. But there's something that must be understood, my brothers and sisters, because I can tell you now that Judah of all the tribes has been more scattered than all others. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the schemes of the adversary have been there to seek to divide the mind states of Judah after various allegiances throughout the world, more so than all others. But Judah, my brothers and sisters, is prophesied for greatness. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that will discern what is declared concerning these latter days? And what is to be, my brothers and sisters, Judah's critical purpose toward the establishment of the kingdom of Yah upon this earth? It says Judah is as a lion's whelp, a young lion, one fresh from the prey, fresh from the victory. Those who said his hand should be upon the neck of his enemies. His children, even his father's children, shall bow down before them. How about even all those of all the nation, my brothers and sisters, who come to the faith? Under him every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. The one of whom this is spoken is prophesied then even here, my brothers and sisters, come of the tribe of Judah. Judah is as a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. In other words, get the point. He might go to a place where he might crouch down. Yes, my brothers and sisters, is one ready to take the prey. He couches as a lion, even as an old lion. Strong old lion. Who shall rouse him up? We've talked before, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High speaks about the righteous one that he raises up to conquer even kings. In Isaiah 41, let us understand. These scriptures speak about the arising of Shiloh. He said the scepter, or the expectation of a king, a great king in fact, shall not depart from Judah, nor the expectation then, because this is a latter day prophecy concerning the expectation of what is to come in the latter day, that there might be a resolution, my brothers and sisters, of the people of the Most High, beyond all the phases, misconceits, misorientations of Babylon into which they have been scattered. A scepter, a lawgiver, shall not depart from Judah, nor the expectation of a lawgiver, one who brings peace, one who brings the rule of the Most High, the righteousness of Yah, who sets a standard. That expectation shall not depart from Judah. It's a promise. Nor the expectation of a lawgiver. It means one for whom men should look, he for whom men should wait. That there might be peace, my brothers and sisters, beyond all the rulers of the earth, from all the sin, all the misallegiances that have kept men bound, from between his feet until Shiloh come. He unto whom it belongs, the scripture says concerning this one called Shiloh, the one whom Most High calls the inheritor of all his mountains. Ah, yes, indeed. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Isaiah, in the 11th chapter, speaks of him saying he is a root out of the stem of Jesse, who will slay the wicked, expose all lawlessness, shall not judge what his eyes see nor what it is here after the construct then of the rulers of this earth. Breath is literally slay, expose all the wicked, all the lawless. Most High shall set him then as an ensign to his people, even an ensign to the nations. And unto him shall all the nations seek. Blessed are they who will understand Isaiah 11 in the context also, my brothers and sisters, of him to whom it is related. In the book of Zechariah, we talked about this last evening. This is the one, my brothers and sisters, scripture says, who, as the scripture said, bind his foe to the vine, as his coat to the choice vine. Scripture says he will speak peace to the nations. I said, yes, my brother, says, this is the one who will speak peace. Did you hear me? He will speak peace to the nations. He'll speak the way of peace to the nations who have never been able to discern indeed what is peace, because all would desire their own idea. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters, of what is righteousness? Cannot deliver themselves. Therefore he comes. He says in 9:10, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and those all the enemies, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. I'm talking about Zechariah, my brothers and sisters. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and his upon a coat, the foal of an ass. What did we just read, my brothers and sisters? Did we not read a scripture that relates the same concept? Scripture says in him, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes were red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. We read last evening, I speak about it again, because this, all these truths must be evident in every mind. Revelation 19, the one called the Word of Yah, the one called the King of Kings. Again, that same one out of the tribe of Judah called Shiloh that is mentioned. Scripture says concerning him, called his name the Word of Yah. 19:13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of Yah. One scripture says he treads, also in this 19th chapter, he treads the winepress. How about the winepress of the king, those who he trod down? The fierceness and wrath of Almighty Yah. Let us understand, my brothers and sisters, what the scripture even says, his eyes was a flame of fire. And I'm talking about one who was angry, my brothers and sisters, it says in 19:12. Eyes was a flame of fire, and it's on his head many crowns. He's a conqueror. He had a name written, no man knew but he himself. He discerns the will of Yah to a greater capacity than all men. He will be the light of the world, my brothers and sisters. But the scripture says, his eyes shall be red with wine. Red with, how about like wine? And his teeth white with milk. In other words, they put that in the word with there, but it means, my brothers and sisters, it says red like wine. One who is angry against the injustices, because for righteousness sake he would judge and make war to put an end to the confusion of mankind. And his teeth white like milk. My brothers and sisters, how many times have we seen one who is angry, who bares his teeth? Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will understand this. So we must understand what the scriptures then have to say about the coming of this one called Shiloh, out of the tribe of Judah. Scripture says when he comes, let us understand, my brothers and sisters, that Judah will awaken first. We just talked about the tribes. How about Revelation 7:4? And it talks about in Revelation 7:4, I saw one called, like an angel rising in the sun. Scripture calls him the King of the East. Angel meaning king, rising in the sun, relating east. Same one called the righteous one, like the rising sun. In Isaiah 41, who conquers the kings and all the injustices of the rulers to awaken his people. Same scripture, my brothers and sisters, same context. Revelation. I could say 7:4, but I want to go back to 7:2. And he said, I saw another angel ascending from the east, or a king like the rising sun, having the seal of confirmation of living Yah. He has the covenant. He is the messenger of the covenant, he for whom you should be waiting. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels, and him was given to hurt the earth and the sea. In other words, get the point. Those angels of wrath who are ultimately come, our brothers and sisters, will come to enforce the testimony he declares. All my brothers and sisters, the earth itself will reject those who do not hear his voice. It says, hear not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of Yah upon our brows. He's talking about those who most time, my brothers and sisters, will be the foundation cornerstone for the kingdom of Yah. And I heard the number of them who were sealed. And those of them who were sealed were 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. Did you notice that the first of the tribes to be sealed is the tribe of Judah? Revelation 7:5. And of the tribe of Judah was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Reuben. Then it said Reuben. Then it said, my brothers and sisters, Gad. Then it said Asher. Then it said Naphtali. Then it said Manasseh. Then Simeon. Then Levi. Then Issachar. Then Zebulun. Then Joseph. Then Benjamin. Did you notice, my brothers and sisters, how far back along the line was the tribe of Levi? Like I said to you before, my brothers and sisters, the systems of this world have been after the kings and the variant priests who in so many ways have been compromised after the ways of the kings. You must understand, my brothers and sisters, there's always been controversy. There had been much controversy in Israel between the prophets and those who were called kings and those who were called priests. Like I said, the system is after the ways of the kings and the priests. But it is the prophets, my brothers and sisters, who must see beyond the system. But the prophets, my brothers and sisters, the Most High called to speak what others would not. But men might discern beyond the carnality of this world. The prophets are anointed to speak what others would not. The prophets are called, my brothers and sisters, to speak all things. The false prophets, then, are those who will not. Please understand, my brothers and sisters, and discern this. Again, you see that the first of the tribes to be sealed is the tribe of Judah. Reflecting this point, let us look then at Hosea 11:10. And those of you who listen to this show on an oftentimes basis know that I oftentimes speak about the secret city prophecies. And it ultimately relates, my brothers and sisters, the Most High seeks to redeem his people, even unto his perfect will. It relates the Messiah comes first, my brothers and sisters. Did you hear me? The Messiah comes first not to destroy, but to offer his people an opportunity to awaken. Zephaniah, third chapter, talks about Messiah in the midst of the city of wickedness. Zephaniah 3. Isaiah 19 calls the city of confusion. Some texts say city of tearing down, city of harsh. How many times the scripture talks about that city called Harris, Kir Harris in Isaiah? How about in Jeremiah 48? Isaiah 16. How many times and who understands what it means? You should look at the city called what is called the Secret City Prophecies, my brothers and sisters, at www.hiddengospel.com, an article called the Secret City Prophecies. Messiah's effort is to make bring forth the people worthy to be an offering to the Most High. He does not come, my brothers and sisters, first to destroy, but to awaken his people at a time when finally a world begins to yield to the wrath of the Most High. The scripture says, those who are humble, so walk after him was called by the name of the Most High. Yes, even Messiah himself. Talking about Hosea 11:10. He'll roar like a lion, and when he shall roar, about calling forth his people, then his children shall come trembling from the west. It's not just his call. He shall roar like a lion to call, my brothers and sisters, but he roars to declare victory for his people. And his son shall come to him who shall have the victory and declare the victory for his people. And they shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt. We talked last evening how the scriptures in the Aramaic, the 16th chapter, talks about the son of ruler of the ruler shall come from the rock city of the wilderness to the mount of the daughter of Zion. Don't know what I'm talking about here? Look at Lamsa Bible, LAMSABIBLE.com. Look at the 16th chapter and understand how the scriptures talk about after this, shall a throne be established. A king shall reign upon the throne of David, who hastens righteousness. Let us understand what those prophecies relate again. He said, they shall walk after the Most High, shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, his children shall come trembling from the west. That city called the City of Destruction, my brothers and sisters, you need to look at the Secret City Prophecies. They relate very preeminently this fact that the city in which we speak is one directed to the west of Israel, and what is now indeed prophetically that nation symbolized by a great eagle and a nation of many nations. Let us be wise, my brothers and sisters. Let us not miss what the prophets speak. www.hiddengospel.com. Examine the article, my brothers and sisters, there called The Secret City Prophecies, and understand how much of what your leaders have not told you is now manifest before all eyes. And much more, my brothers and sisters, to come of it. He says, they shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, as a dove out of the land of Assyria. My brothers and sisters, the prophecies in Isaiah 11 talk about Israel finally being peace in the midst of the land. Egypt, we know, is of old to the south, Assyria to the north. My brothers and sisters, the scripture also speaks about in Egypt is to the west. Let us understand. And they say, I'll place them. He's talking about bring them back from their places where they dwelt, and I'll bring them to their own houses. How about bringing people back to the land of Israel? Read Isaiah 19, 18 to 25 and understand. He says, but Ephraim, when he brings his people back from all the nations, he says, Ephraim surrounds about me with lies. Ephraim, my brothers and sisters, I would tell you, is still yet those of the tribes of Israel, because they have been prideful after the many allegiances after which they have been scattered. Some of them proud in their so-called Hebrew identity. Some of them, my brothers and sisters, prideful of the identity and the sense of righteousness they've had among the nations, being counted oftentimes as accepted citizens. But there's something different about Judah, my brothers and sisters. Notice it says, in the house of Israel with deceits, Ephraim and Israel with deceits, encompassing, surrounding the Most High with their lies, misconceits. How about false doctrines? How about false concepts of righteousness? Still in great need of conversion. But it says, Judah shall yet rule with Yah. How about, and ultimately, my brothers and sisters, be faithful? How about even for the cause of all the saints? Much concerning this, my brothers and sisters, much concerning this must be considered, must be given the full consideration that it deserves. We have to consider, my brothers and sisters, we have to consider this truth. Some would ask, why the tribe of Judah? Well, let's look at this for a minute. Those who know the truth know that those who remain in Israel the longest, the tribes that remained until finally Israel was scattered, was primarily Judah, some of Levi, and Benjamin. Let us discern the truth. We have to understand that Judah has been more scattered than all the tribes. Let's talk about it. The Assyrian captivity under Shalmaneser. Much of Israel was scattered. The various nations where Assyria would send them away. Many into the townships, the scripture says, of the city of the kings of the Medes, the cities of the Medes. Syria taking many away as slaves, and yet a portion of Judah also taken away. Well, we understand what happened before that in Solomon's son's reign, Rehoboam, when the tribes of Israel and Judah were split, and many of the tribes of Israel primarily going to the north. I would tell you also, my brothers and sisters, some went to the north, and some went north, and even to the north, northwest. You have to talk about a lot of that. Primarily, however, my brothers and sisters, when you talk about immediately many who went to the north, let us consider that many have not considered such things as the truth of how, when the Cain Inquisition. How many, they talk about the Moors being cast out of Spain. We talk about the Great Inquisition. We talk about the Sephardim, my brothers and sisters, Sephardic Jews, who many of them were scattered into Spain. But let us also consider about how many were taken away as slaves, even from there. Let's talk about, my brothers and sisters, the concept that those who were called the Moors were not only some of them of Islamic, but also, my brothers and sisters, Jewish seed. You talk about those who were taken, and when they talk about Black Russian, they talk about the Moors who were in Russia. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about both Islamic and Jewish influence. How many of us are willing to give consideration? All right. Let us think about these, my brothers and sisters, and put them together. Like I said, many of the tribes of Judah, some were scattered to the north. Babylonian captivity, before the Babylonian captivity, many went to the south. So it is written, you'll find in the testimony of the book of Jeremiah. We also speak about, my brothers and sisters, like I said, in the Babylonian captivity, how those who were taken away by Babylon were taken into Babylon to the east of Israel. Some came back, some did not. But like I said, what did come back was definitely primarily Judah. So Levi and Benjamin. So let us consider the reality of these things, brothers and sisters. Even up to the time when Israel is finally scattered off the land, in 70 AD, taken away by the Romans. And those who are wise, many of them are brothers and sisters, like I said, sought refuge, going to the south. Yes, my brothers and sisters, to the south of Israel, among those who look more like themselves. We have to still talk about those who are still, like I said, Rome took away. Many of them, my brothers and sisters, that time taken, yes, some into the east, some into the west, some again, primarily many who scattered, were able to scatter of their own, some level of their own volition, their own power, to the south. Many of them scattered throughout the course of Africa, some to the west coast, some finding settlements in the midst of Africa, spread to the west coast, taken to South America, Central America, North America, Canada. Many taken, my brothers and sisters, the various nations throughout Europe. Who's willing to understand, my brothers and sisters, about how many also was taken again as slaves into Arab nations? Even after, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about those times after 70 A.D. I said after the 70 A.D. destruction of Jerusalem. I look at the idea about how Judah has been more scattered than all the tribes. But there's something to be considered about this, my brothers and sisters. The scriptures talk about the first one to come back are those who are called from the west. Well, you see those scriptures speaking of Messiah calling forth his own. But I would say to those who are of the tribes of Judah from the west, remember the scripture says it's still just a 12,000 of them who shall awaken first. But I'm telling you, they will be a strong people. Yes, my brothers and sisters, they will be those who are made strong because where many of the other tribes will have to awaken beyond a sense of, let's just say, haven't had a sense of citizenship. Many of them having their own concept of Judaism, Sephardic, Ashkenazi. Like I said, calling themselves among those having citizenships among the various nations of the earth. Judah, my brothers and sisters, especially those coming from the west, have known that they were one time not counted full citizens. And my brothers and sisters, many of them were ultimately reclaimed truly what is their Jewish identity, not at the hand of other authority, but at the hand of Messiah himself, even seeking beyond all those who have been called rabbis and elders, among the many, my brothers and sisters, who even at this time call themselves Hebrew Israelite today? Who are those, my brothers and sisters, among them who will hearken the word? Who are them among those who will be kings will hearken first to the king? Well, let us consider, my brothers and sisters, that the adversary has indeed functioned in many ways to divide the tribes of Judah. We're scattered now, many of us in the West, in a nation that is actually the most diverse, therefore the most confused in all the world in so many ways. More polytheist and compromised than all others, and that they have called it a law. It meant in so many ways to deny the will of one. Never a possibility of true healing, because everybody's afraid of how somebody's feet might be stomped upon because you seek to fully heal a problem. Always somebody wants to preserve some form of evil, something that is departed from the covenant. But my brothers and sisters, Messiah will not judge what his eyes see or what his ears hear, nor will he count what he sees in the compromises of men against the covenant and destruction of this world, destruction of it both physically and spiritually. He will not count any of that, my brothers and sisters, as a standard after which he would give reverence. In fact, he will expose them all. He will show how all the various churches, denominations, social, cultural, political, and national ideals of the whole world are falling short of the revelation of his indeed divine glory, honor, and righteousness as revealed to him by his Father. Blessed then, my brothers and sisters, they will understand what the implications of all these things are. Adversary, knowing that Judah must awaken first for the cause of the awakening of the tribes of Israel, knows that Judah must first come to bear the standard, the honor, Even, my brothers and sisters, bringing to revival what truly honors Yah. The scriptures tell us first that those who keep his design unto his fullness, they will sit with him upon his throne. But my brothers and sisters, it still meant that Judah, that brings forth the king, will still be foremost counted the king. But out of the tribe of Judah, my brothers and sisters, comes forth one who will not only be king, but also priest. Blessed are they who will understand that the counsel of peace in that day shall be between them both. Something that's hardly been in the history of all Israel. How many times, my brothers and sisters, has it been? Yes, my brothers and sisters, how many times has it been the king and the priest have sought to slaughter the prophet? The Most High, my brothers and sisters, is talking about establishing a king, we both king and priest. The counsel of peace, the standard, be to all Israel, and even ultimately to all the world. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, I say again, who understand the implications of these things. We live in a society that is ultimately, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways been paranoid against what the Most High has said must finally bring solidarity to his people. But that solidarity still must be. Isaiah 49 speaks of this one, and it says, he is one whom the kings of the earth have despised. The scripture says, because of him, however, his people, he will wipe off all tears from off all eyes. So true, he shall not smite them. He shall deliver his people. Same scriptures, my brothers and sisters, at Revelation in the 7th chapter, particularly the 16th and 17th verse, again relating this as latter-day prophecy. We will understand, my brothers and sisters, who that one is. That's Shiloh, who brings peace and declares a law, who will say, listen to me, O Isles, speaking to all the nations. No peace, according to any man of lawlessness. Listen to me, O Isles, talk to me, O you nations. The Most High is calling from the womb, and from the body of my mother has he made mention of my name. Ultimately, to bring his people Israel back to him. Made his mouth like a sharp sword, declaring an absolute word to discern whether men will prefer righteousness or unrighteousness. Made his word full unto the righteousness of Yah, discern who will serve Yah and who will serve him not. Scripture says he is the one whom to whom what is honorable before the Most High, what is true to the praise of the Most High, will be revealed. Who will discern, my brothers and sisters, this is the one who not only redeems Israel, the rest of the tribes, even first the tribe of Judah, then the rest of the tribes. But this one, my brothers and sisters, also be the salvation of all mankind. It is of utmost importance, then, for the tribe of Judah, at least that first 12,000, come a strong people redeemed, discerning beyond all the injustices of all the nations, but desirous, my brothers and sisters, that this be done, that the world, seeing the light of what is true justice, might come to that justice, seeing that true exhibition of love. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the world might be converted. I oftentimes wonder about those, my brothers and sisters, who desire constant contention in the earth. The nature of this world and its worldliness, the systems of this world, is that nations, once they are born grudges, none of them righteous before Yah, bear continual grudges to the extent that though the Most High desires peace on earth, they will maintain continual grudges and constant divisions as if they would want contentions in the earth forever. That's the reason why, my brothers and sisters, so many nations, once they form their particular barriers seeking to defend what they call their way of life, still in their partialities, the way of death, these borders of mistrust dividing the nations still exist. Scripture says, Messiah comes, however, to declare the exceeding righteousness of Yah, to dry up the rivers, dry up the borders of the nations, even to awaken his people beyond the mindscapes, the shallow mindscapes of their kings, the contentious mindscapes of their kings, showing the exceeding righteousness of Yah that all must come to, even unto the conversion of the nations, the conversion of the nations. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, he is the one who preached the gospel. Those of you who don't know a lot of what I'm talking about here, please, Revelation 16, 12 through 21, read it in the context of Isaiah 44, 20 through 45, 6, Isaiah 19, 1 through 5. Check out that article on my website, Secret City Prophecies, the one called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation, and understand what truly all these things are about when it talks about ultimately we must prepare and let the way of the King of the East be prepared. And we see beyond every obstacle, my brothers and sisters, that light shine in the midst of a wilderness and darkness where there has been no fruition. And we understand what the meaning of the scriptures are when it says, comfort ye, all my people. In other words, see beyond all the contentions that divide you. See by the Spirit the higher righteousness of Yah. Discern the greater discipline of the Most High. Discern the missing link. And the truth that the scripture said in advance, the leaders would not tell. Discern, my brothers and sisters, beyond the pollutions that many have called wise, and discern what the Most High will call acceptable, because none of the pollutions that are any of the tainted doctrines or any of the partial doctrines of this world will be counted as acceptable. So let us consider, my brothers and sisters, truly what all these things actually do mean. Let us consider, my brothers and sisters. Let us consider. Judah must be for all Israel's sake the first that awaken beyond all the allegiances, the blinding false righteousness of a world that so often fatally flattered the people to walk after unrighteousness as if it were righteousness. Walk after injustice as if it were justice. Blessed are they who awaken first. Like I said, there's something the scriptures are saying here in a very powerful way. Beyond all the variant concepts of righteousness after which much of Israel has been scattered, Judah, that 144,000, be among the first, then, my brothers and sisters, to be truly redeemed, because as it is written, if the Son sets you free, you should be free indeed. Many of them, my brothers and sisters, will claim truly their Jewish identity. Many of them realizing the multitude of contentions we see among us today, that this cannot be a covenant, will realize, my brothers and sisters, they must look for him whom the scriptures have spoken, that the rulers have not taught them concerning. Blessed are they who will understand it. Blessed are they who will understand what is Judah's portion in the plan of the Most High. If they prepare what the Most High of old has decreed. There must be a galvanization for our people. Let's reclaim ancient identity. I have a little time left, so I'll tell you about something the Most High told me many years ago, showed me many years ago. Some of you have heard it before. Those of you who haven't, I'll relate it to you again. Dream the Most High gave me many years ago. Like I was looking back into the past, I saw a young African woman. I knew she was Hebrew, like she had just recently been brought to this country. Looked to be about maybe, I would say maybe 20 to 22 or so years old, years of age. Had a young 4-year-old son. I remember looking at the courtyard, surrounded by kind of like 4x4s, which her section was cordoned off. The grass non-existent there, only sand, because apparently it had all been traipsed down. Little hut, per se, of a house where apparently was her quarters. And out in front of that quarters, she was on her knees, standing up on her knees with a 4-year-old son, looking around about 4 years old. In front of him, she was holding him by the shoulders, would not let him turn his head to the right nor to the left, looking him straight into the eye. I saw her with tears saying to her son, my son, please try to remember all that I've ever taught you. The concept was that a dad, the child's father, had already been sold. It wasn't until I saw this dream many, many, many years ago, I guess relatively speaking, only recently did I finally see what happened to the father. Well, it's as if the father was relating the ideas the father had already been sold away. They were separating the people who were common custom among those who were brought here. They wanted to divide them, keep them from coalescing any commonality the land from which they had come. She was saying to her son, my son, please try to remember everything that I ever told you. I already sold your daddy. And it looks like it's not going to be long before they possibly sell her. She said, I don't know, my son, how long I'll be here with you. Because it looks like instead of me being able to raise you, she says to her son, your filthy mother will raise you. And I immediately knew what it meant. Ancient society, parents who could not raise a child but passed on the traditions of a people called a filthy mother, a filthy father. And she grieved deeply in her soul because she knew that her son was going to be raised by a system that by no means could teach him fully what it meant to be a man. Well, the time I would say my brothers and sisters, she was looking forward to, it was an awesome time, because she told her son that instead of her being able to raise her son, he said, a filthy mother, this system that can never teach him what it means to be a man according to the ways of a tribe of people. She said, instead of me being able to raise you, this filthy mother will raise you. But she said to her son, that, and she related in so many ways that this system will never be able to tell her son the fullness of the truth. She said, they're going to lie to you, my son. They're going to twist the words of the book, my son. They can't tell you anything about who you are. Or what is your purpose? Often in the grand scheme, if you will, of things. But she said that these people who could not tell her son anything about the true ways of their God, the Holy One. She said, but one day, my son, and I tell you how precious it must have been to even look forward to that day. How often, how long it has been that people left indiscriminately illiterate were left to have to trust in the oftentimes unfaithfulness of those who read to them. But she said to her son, but one day, my son, in spite of herself, your filthy mother is going to have to teach you to read and write. Why? How about to exploit you at another level? Many will see it that way, following the rudiments of this system. But some of us, she knew, would do better. And she said, but one day, my son, in spite of herself, your filthy mother's going to teach you how to read and write. Then, she said, in that day, my son, you shall read the words of the book and discern it as a native, as they could never teach you. And she said, in that day, my son, you will reclaim everything they took from you. I'm waking up stunned by the magnitude of the dream that I just had. I had a little while after that that I could lay down and contemplate what I just seen. And it seemed as soon as the rest of the family was trying to prepare to leave, and I still had a little while I could lay down a little bit. I remember laying down, and almost as soon as I put my head to the pillow, it seemed like I fell back to sleep again. And I saw a child as if it had just been born, still in his mother's fluids. The umbilical cord apparently still attached. Like I said, still not wiped yet, clean of his mother's fluids. And I heard the voice of the Most High speak, saying these words, the time has come. To cut the umbilical cord from your filthy mother and to drink again of the breast of the mother who loved you. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that what has been fed into the minds and hearts of our people after this system who cares not for the reconciliation and healing of our people, I would even go as far as to say, my brothers and sisters, that none of the venom, none of the partialities and perversions of those who are more concerned about protecting their pulpits and thrones than the truth necessary to reconcile Israel as a people, none of them are viable before the Most High. None of them have a covenant with him. Even if it be those among us, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says, blessed are they who bless Israel, and cursed are they who curse. If there be those even among us, my brothers and sisters, who are not open the minds to discern, like I said, such things as the secret city prophecies. You need to check out my website, hiddengospel.com. So many times that scenario was painted. The Most High said he would send Messiah in the midst of a city and would rebuke that city. The city would refuse his discipline. Most High said he would rebuke a whole world in all its confusion. After the confusion of that is also in that city. And my brother says he would call forth his people that they might be joined together with him, even to establish Jerusalem upon a firm foundation. The scenario is in Scripture over and over again, but how is it, my brothers and sisters, that so few have heard it? And that is the regathering of our people. Check out Isaiah 66, particularly that 6th through the 15th verse, and understand the Most High desires of people made wise beyond the nations and denominations. Why didn't they tell you? But I can say, my brothers and sisters, that all these prophecies relate the scenario the Most High has spoken of that will prove foolish all the so-called taught expectations at the hands of the kings and the priests and the rulers. They've taken counsel against the Most High and against his anointing and against the host of his peace. Those who have been more so concerned about their own pulpits and thrones, they have not been concerned with what's necessary to regather our people. What does Scripture say about the Holy Spirit? It says the Spirit of truth the world will not receive. Those who are not concerned for the oneness of our people, more concerned about preserving the enmity and the strife and the divisiveness of a multitude of pluralist, short-sighted standards. It says the Spirit of truth they will not receive. We might be amongst a multitude of provocations among the nations, according to Jacob. First chapter, we are called to still bring forth the perfect work from the Most High, before the Most High is complete. Of the scriptures I'm talking about in Johannes 14:15. 17:9 says, the Spirit of truth the world will not receive. In the context of saying, the Messiah said, I made no request for the world. Those who preserve contentions and the hatred that is wrought after the very partial and imperfect, unacceptable standards that are the divisiveness of men who oftentimes reading the word, not discerning what is said, still function after the flesh rather than after the spirit, therefore dividing our people. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, in looking at those scriptures and looking at them closely, what we understand is that those who are not preached to these things to discern Messiah, that one called the King of the East. You need to look at that article on my website, Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Understand the purpose of which he comes, to expose all the unrighteousness of the world. Those who are so concerned about their own authority that they will not teach what will ultimately set our people free, that they may yet become one. Yes, my brothers and sisters, they are accursed. Though they might call themselves Israel, they are like Edom and Esau, my brothers and sisters.
60 seconds.
The brother of Jacob. You need to think about it, my brothers and sisters, who rejecting the promise of the Most High, rejecting the choice of the Most High, sold his birthright for what physicality of this world could bear. Say, blessed are they who bless Israel, and cursed are they who curse. And those who deny the promise of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, they are the ones the Most High said he would have anger and wrath, upon which he would have anger and wrath forever. Says the nation will not serve Israel when he restores the light of his righteousness, though the nation shall perish. My brothers and sisters, from among us there shall be a people redeemed. Yah has purposed it, so shall it be. Now can turn anything against
seconds.
It. Blessed are they who will hear these words. My brothers and sisters, I tell you now, support this ministry, because the truth that are in it, I tell you, no one will be blessed without who does not support. I will only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every year that he brings near. To his might, to his honor, and his praise always, I thank him all forever. Yes, I do. I thank him for every year that he brings near. I thank you all for listening. To his might, to his honor, and his praise always. Hallelujah!